Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. You're listening to the radio ministry of the Mount Carroll Church of God.
We would like to invite you to visit our church, located at the intersection of Highways 64 and 78 in Mount Carroll, Illinois.
We have many activities available.
Our Sunday morning worship time is 10 o'clock a.m., and Sunday school for all ages is at 9 o'clock a.m.
There are also many small group Bible studies that meet throughout the week.
And if you'd like a copy of today's service, it's available on CD.
For more information, please call us at 815-244-4453.
Our office hours at the church are 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, closed on Mondays.
We would be glad to see you.
If you missed any of this information, we will repeat it again at the end of this broadcast.
And now with today's message, here's our guest speaker.
Okay, boys and girls, come on up. Why don't we sit over here? Come on down. Big and little, young and old. Guess what? We are going to be celebrating somebody's birthday this week. Whose is it?
Jesus.
Now, what happens when you have a birthday? What?
Celebrate it with presents and cakes.
You celebrate it with presents and cake. I got a great idea. I am going to give Jesus a birthday present. I mean, come on. You guys get presents when you have a birthday, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to give him a present. This is pretty awesome. Right here it is in this box. I wonder what it's going to be. I'm so excited. What do you think it's going to be? I'm going to give him a trip to Hawaii. I love Hawaii. Hawaii is beautiful. But now wait a bit. In the Bible, it says the eyes of the Lord are every place. That means he's already seen Hawaii. What kind of gift would that be? Well, forget that. Now what am I going to get him? I got an idea. Right here it is. Over here. Oh, I think it's going to be awesome. It's in this box right here. What do you think it's going to be? A shirt? I'll open it. What's it going to be? I'm going to build him a new house. Not just any house. It's going to be an ultimate house, like a mansion. And I'm going to make many, many rooms in that house. Paul, you're so smart. You're right. I think I've heard. Have I heard that song? Many, many rooms. You're right. Have you ever heard, in my Father's house are many, many rooms? Well, once again, what kind of gift would be building a house when he's building a house for us already? And it's even going to have streets of gold. Now, what do I give him? Gosh, I have one more. I think it's the most perfect gift I can give him. It's right here in this little box. What do you think it's going to be? Jesus could fit anywhere. What is it going to be? I can give him my heart. I can give Jesus my heart. Oh, there's something else in here. It's a picture of me. And you know what? I gave Jesus my heart many, many years ago, about your age. I asked Jesus to come into my life. And you know what? When you were born, did your mom and dad have to teach you to be naughty?
Yeah.
Raise your hand. I think when we were born, When we were born in this world, because it's a sinful world, we were separated from God. So that's why we have Christmas. God sent his son Jesus into the world as a baby. Then he grew up and he died on a cross. Is he still dead? No way! He came alive and he's preparing a place for us to live with him forever and ever and ever in heaven. But you know what you have to do? God made that way for us. Evan, you know what you have to do to go to heaven with Jesus? What? You are so right. Good job, Riker. You have to accept Jesus into your life. And that's what I did many, many years ago. So what is the best Christmas gift you can give Jesus? Your heart, yourself. And you can do that by saying a simple little prayer like this. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Please forgive me of all my many sins. Lord, please help me to give you myself this Christmas and make it the best Christmas ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guess what? There's one more present. Right there it is. It's sitting there. But you know what? Jesus gave us the best present of all. He gave himself to us. But it's a free gift. You have to take it. Many people just let it sit there year after year after year. But you have to take that gift by giving yourself to Jesus. And you know what? When you take that gift, he is our lifesaver. Because Jesus saved us all. So he is our lifesaver. Jesus saved our lives from this sinful world. So would you all like a lifesaver?
Yeah.
All right. There's gummy ones or there's regular ones? Just take one or the other. Let's come on up. No, just one.
Oops.
Okay, quick. All right. Okay. Thank you.
John 3:16-19. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the Son of God's one and in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil.
Good morning. Am I coming across? Even when I'm away from that mic? All right, cool. This mic gets me every time I walk up here. So, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope everyone is doing well. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Tim. I've been here now for just a couple months. And I got to say, it's been a wonderful time. This week, we had Toys for Tots here at the church. And the last I heard, there was over 600 children provided with a Christmas this year through Toys for Tots and delivered out of our church. How awesome is that? Can we just give everybody who volunteered for that? And on top of that, we are on Luke chapter 19, as was reminded for those of you who are following along in the Luke challenge. I'm not going to ask how everybody is doing for you to say out loud, but hopefully you're keeping up. If you are behind a little bit, you have time. Luke challenge will wrap up Friday night. Okay? So, and one last thing. With Christmas right around the corner, make sure you invite your friends and family to come out and join us for Christmas Eve service. It's going to be a wonderful time. Night of worship, night of praise. We're going to be doing communion and just having that time to fellowship, remembering why we have Christmas. So as we get ready for the message, let's say a little prayer today and get rolling. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the opportunity to fellowship and to worship and praise you. Father, I ask that you just open each one of our hearts and minds that we may learn more about you, we may grow in wisdom of you. Father, I also ask that you control what I say today. You show what you want me to say. Father, and if I say anything that's not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading through this week's reading, I kept praying, what does God want me to say? And what does he want me to share with the church this morning? I mean, last week we talked about how Jesus changes everything. That him coming through the manger is because he changes everything. And in this week's reading, for those who've been keeping up, it is a loaded section that we read through Luke. I mean, we had everything from religious hypocrisy to help with anxiety. We saw a reading about how we should be ready for Christ's return. And on top of that, we saw more healings, and we also saw how God celebrates everyone that returns to him, and a ton more. And with Christmas this week, and I hope you're all as excited as I am about being Christmas right around the corner, there's all the celebration and family time together, and we're getting to see people that we don't often see. And in fact, for some of us, we may not have seen some of our friends and family for several years with COVID. This may be the first time that you have actually seen them. People are traveling, but throughout all of this, friends and family, many of us will be seeing at least one or two family members that we may not necessarily see eye to eye with. Anybody agree to that one? Wow, nobody raising hand on that. Wonder why. Normally, though, we may act out on these events and thoughts, and we may push against each other. But for grandma's sake, I think many of us try to keep it civil during the holidays when we get together. We keep our mouth shut. But it can make things interesting. Some of you are also like the black sheep of the family, or have seen the black sheep. You're aware, you like to stir the pot at these functions, and when you get with the rest of them. This week's lesson, though, as I was prepping, there's a particular story that stood out to me, and it can be found in Luke chapter 15 for those who are going to want to follow along today. In there, we find two different brothers, each one with their own way of doing things. One of them we would consider a good son within the human standards. And the other would totally be the black sheep of the family, running away. Some call it the story of the prodigal son. In some translations, they call it the wayward child, or simply the lost son. Either way, it's a story that I believe many of us in here probably have heard many times, and some of you may have even read it a few times. Yet I think we may have missed some details over time. It becomes a habit when we read through it. We just get these little nuggets and we keep right on going. And I think it's important for us to understand the full context of the passage. Jesus starts out the story in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and he says, he also said a man had two sons. And in verse 12 it says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributes the assets to them. And it's the Father who distributes them. Some of you may have heard this before, but the idea here is that the younger son was asking for his share of the estate before his father even passed, which under the law at the time, a third of the estate when his father passed would have gone to him. The older brother would have got a double portion. He would have gotten two-thirds. But on top of that, this was a direct act of disrespect towards his father. Direct act. You know, at this time, it wasn't that completely uncommon for a dad to divvy up his stuff before he passed. But this was a direct act of disrespect. This was him, by approaching his father like this, it was like saying, I wish you were dead. And it's not something you would just go and ask for. And he was also saying that he didn't want to live underneath his father's covering anymore. He didn't want to live underneath the rules that his dad had laid out for him. He didn't want to live by his father's wishes or the direction. And this is typically where we leave it when we start reading this passage in the beginning. But we wonder, how does this even apply to us today? What about this young man speaks into the world we have around us? Well, many of us are the young man in the story, or we have been up to a certain point in our life. We've grown up in the comfort of the church or in a family of believers. We've been told the gospel message and the hope that is found in Jesus. We went to Sunday school, youth group. Growing up, we were told that Christmas story. We told about Christ's death on the cross. We know the Ten Commandments. But we all have reached a point where we had to make a decision. We had to choose whether to accept Christ or pursue the things of the world. And often, if we're honest with ourselves, the world seems more desirable. It seems like something that we want to pursue because it seems more exciting. It's not just what mom and dad have always told us. You know, and also at the end of that particular passage, verse 12, it says, so he distributed the assets to them. It seems almost as if the father didn't care in that verse. If you can throw 12 back up on the screen. So he distributed the assets to him. It's almost like he didn't fight his son when his son came to him. The problem with this particular translation on no matter where you look is in the Greek, it actually shows the father grieving in the process. And it's hard to translate that part in. The father is heartbroken by the request of the son. And that's fitting because when we decide not to live under Christ and to go into the world, our Father in heaven is heartbroken as well. But the young son made a choice. In verse 13, it says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. He made a choice. He left the protection of his father's place. He made a choice to leave what he knew behind, to chase after the world around him. He looked at the world and said, looks like more fun to me than anything I have staying at home. When we look at Christians, there are times we get this way. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, we look at it as nothing but a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts for Christianity. Stuff that we have to follow. We see the idea of the world around us as a way to find freedom. I mean, don't get me wrong, we like the idea of God. We often just have this idea of this figure in the sky that watches over us, and we kind of treat him like a genie in a bottle. We know that we just, you know, we'll call on him when we need something or if things aren't going our way, but otherwise, we just want God to keep that distance from us. We don't want him to get in the way of our lives. They're our lives, right? We tell ourselves that we say a prayer once in a while, or that we walked up front one Sunday and we got that golden ticket. We can continue doing whatever we want. God will just forgive us. So what do? We do as the younger son did. We go out and we live our life like there is no God. We might show up to church once or twice a month, if that. But we don't submit to God. We don't try to live our lives for him. We just simply want that little stamp so that hopefully we can make it into heaven. We make excuses. We say that we're good moral people. We've kept most of the Ten Commandments. We help the poor from time to time. We say a prayer. Surely we can keep doing a couple of things. I mean, it's not hurting anyone, right? So what does it really matter if we pursue the things of the flesh from time to time? What does it matter if we keep God at arm's length? In yesterday's reading, we read about the rich young ruler in chapter 18. And in verse 18 of chapter 18, it says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This rich young ruler is coming up to Jesus and asking him this, and Jesus responds in Luke 18:20 and says, "You know the commands: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And the young man was okay with all of this. He was actually excited. He had done this his whole life, he said. He had been living a good and moral life. After Jesus heard, he told the young man, "You still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." You know, the young man was really saddened by all of this. You know why? Because he was extremely wealthy. He'd have to give up everything that he was used to in life. He liked the things of this world. I think many of us like some of the things that the world has to offer, or we want to pursue those things, but we know they're not good for us. I mean, he was a moral and upright man in the eyes of man. That should be good enough, right? Yet Jesus told him to give it all up to follow him. Oftentimes, though, when we do strike out after the world, we find it may not be what we thought. We run into all types of trials and tribulations that we can't handle on our own. And that's when we want to use God as the genie in the box. But when we run into those, just like the young man did in our story today, verse 14, after he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he had nothing. Here he was, away from his family, away from his safety net that he had known since he was a child, living out of his own, untrained and inexperienced with money, no way to replenish what he had, and boom, he was at the bottom of the totem pole for that community. Here was a man who had grown up with having servants and all types of safeguards put in place by his father. And as soon as he stepped out on his own, he was failing. So often when we step outside of God and we start living a life in the world around us, we start making excuses for the sin in our lives and the sin of our society, and we start failing. You know, there gets to a point when we walk away from God where we start calling bad things good and good things bad. We start telling ourselves the things that God flat out calls abominations moral and right, because of how someone feels is more important than the truth.
is what we tell ourselves. We make excuses for sin that God tells us to stay away from. We allow the world to overtake us, pulling us down into the pits until we can no longer even recognize our own selves. We get to the lowest point where we can barely hear that still small voice of God within us, pushing us further into depravity, leaving us with nothing but emptiness inside of us. And no matter how hard we try to fill it with all types of things of this world, we just can't. And that's what happened to the young man in the passage. Verse 15 and 16 today says, "Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill of the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything." There's two takeaways in this verse. One, I think we often miss, is how lucky he was to find a job in that area. There was a financial crisis. There wasn't jobs. People were out of homes, out of food, everything, and yet he managed to find one. Yet, on the other hand, for the Jews who were hearing this story, this would have been the lowest of the low job he could have ever possibly had. He was working with pigs, unclean swine. This was not okay. And this was utterly repulsive for a law-abiding Jew. On top of that, the pigs he was taking care of were eating better than him. I got a question for you guys. When was the last time you wanted to eat pig food? I can't imagine that ever really crossed your mind that, that looks good. I've helped work on a pig farm. I know what they eat and I know what it looks like. I'm good. I'm out. But when we hit that low point in life, sometimes that we're willing to do more things than what we would normally okay. When we hit that low point, we're willing to go in directions that we know we shouldn't. Yet, we need to remember that God can use those low moments in our life for good. We have often heard it said that God can work all things for good, right? I mean, we've heard that. That's not an uncommon phrase. But I think we need to add something before that. It doesn't mean that everything is good. It just means that no matter the circumstances or what you've got going on in life, God can work it for good. It tells us in verse 17 that when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger." It was during this downfall that he came back to his senses, remembering how even his own father's workers had more than he did. He started to remember the protection of his father's home, the guidance and the wisdom that he can be found there. It's like the Holy Spirit guiding us, reminding us that there's a better way in life. We don't have to be stuck where we are in life right now. That there is a God in heaven who not only cares about us, but wants to walk alongside us no matter what the world throws in our way. We don't have to face these things alone. Luke 15 and 18 and 19, it says, "I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight.'" Verse 19 says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers." He was willing to confess his sins and the mistakes. I want you to know today, it doesn't matter how far you've walked away from God or how much distance you've had between you and God in your life and what mistakes you've made. That's the first step, is be willing to admit that you've made those mistakes. Willing to acknowledge what you've done. Willing to acknowledge your weaknesses. And in verse 20, it says, "So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, he threw his arms around him, kissed his neck, and kissed him." do we understand that the Father was sitting there waiting the whole time? He didn't forget about his son just because his son disrespected him. He didn't forget about his son because his son decided that he knew better than his father. Just like our Father in heaven does for us. See, he doesn't care what you've done in your past life. Care what mistakes or how many times you've rejected him. All he cares about is that you turn back. And when you do, he's coming running. And you may wonder, what is Christmas? Well, you see, Jesus came to this earth, and that's what we're celebrating on Christmas. But he came to make a way for us to return to the Father and to show us the way back home. So that when we are the lost child and we don't know where to go and we don't know where to turn, we have Jesus there as the guiding light for the whole process. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we get together. It tells us in verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The son did, so they begin to celebrate. Every time somebody turns back to Jesus, there's a celebration in heaven. Every time somebody turns back to God, there's a celebration. And we should be just celebrating right along with it. But too often, I think we find ourselves as the second son in the story. In verse 25 to 27, it says, now his older son was in the field as he came near the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and questioned what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has been back safe and sound. And man, was the older brother mad. Was he upset? In fact, he says in 28 through 30, then he became angry and didn't want to go in. Threw a fit standing outside. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your order. Yet you've never given me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. I hate that last phrase. When there's a new believer. We'll see how long this change lasts. You know, Jesus tells us in Mark 2:17, it's not for those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus came for the lost and the hurting, to show them their way back to the Father. We should be there to support those who have turned their old way of life. We should be there for those who are pursuing a greater relationship with Jesus. If we know someone that has lived a life full of sin in their past, and they're trying to pursue a relationship with Jesus, don't bring up their past. Show them Jesus. Encourage them. Walk alongside them. Don't throw their old lives back in their face. That's their old way of doing things. We've all been made a new creation. That's what the older brother wanted to do with the younger brother. Throw his old way and his mistakes back at him. And I'll be honest, at that moment when we do that, we are no better off than the brother who ran away. But the father said in 31 to 32, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate that and finding a way that we can walk alongside them, remembering that Jesus came so that we have a clear path, so that we don't have to guess or try out on our own, but Jesus came for each one of us who are sinners. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and we want to thank you for each individual person who is sitting here. Father, we want to thank you for your son and everything he did up on that cross this morning. And Father, as we went through the story that was shared with us. We see the story of the prodigal son. We want to thank you for that example of how easy it is for us to be able to return to you if we just admit. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, and you're tired of the life that you've been living, and you're ready to accept that free gift of salvation through your Son into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's something new for you today, see me after. We'll get you set up. We'll get you set up with some material. You don't have to walk this earth alone. There's a body of believers here, and we love you for it. Amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenward Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
May God bless you guys this week as you go out with you and your families. May you keep Christ in mind throughout this celebration. And hopefully see a lot of you guys Friday night, 7 o'clock for Christmas Eve. God bless.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Mount Carroll Church of God.
We would like to invite you to visit our church, located at the intersection of Highway 64 and 78 in Mount Carroll, Illinois.
We have many activities available.
Our Sunday morning worship time is 10 o'clock a.m., and Sunday school for all ages is at 9 o'clock a.m.
There are also many small group Bible studies that meet throughout the week.
And if you'd like a copy of today's service, it's available on CD.
For more information, please call us at 815-244-4453.
Our office hours at the church are 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, closed on Mondays.
We would be glad to see you.
Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.
Take your candle.